One-party rule for the past 2 years has resulted in increased illegal immigration, rising crime, and a decline in our national security. The GOP wants to balance things out. They want your vote. Part two of their plan is next. Hey, welcome back to the Barry Ferris Show, where we talk about culture, politics, and leadership from the perspective of freedom principles. And today is politics. I hope you're doing well. Today we look at the Republican plan to make the U.S. safe and secure, and they articulate it in their commitment to America. Hey, first, just a real quick note on our podcast. Last week, we gave a shout-out to Canadians who watch or listen to our program on a variety of different platforms. Today, we thank those of you that our tech team have verified are from Western Europe. You know, we've got listeners from Belgium, Germany, France, Ireland, Luxembourg, Monaco, Netherlands, Spain, Italy, Sweden, Portugal, Switzerland, Denmark, Finland, Norway, and the UK. And the Isle of Man, Iceland, and Greenland, too. Thank you. Please subscribe and share. Okay, so today, we're going to look at part two of the Republicans' commitment to America. Now, back in 1994, Newt Gingrich, I said that kind of funny, Newt Gingrich proposed a contract with America. It resulted in the Republicans gaining control of the House for the first time in 40 years. Now, they didn't get everything done that they wanted, but they did make an honest effort to fulfill their contract with America. And you can look back and observe that the economy actually improved a bit afterward, and welfare programs became more efficient. So here we are. For the first time in 28 years, the Republicans have laid out a plan in writing, and they agree on it. You've probably heard that Democrats hate each other but stick together to win no matter what. And that Republicans love each other but fight each other even when it makes them lose. That's not always true, but there might be some truth to that sometimes. But here's a unified voice with a positive agenda from Republicans. They don't just slam Democrats for a border that's out of control and crime that has increased at alarming levels and a drop in national security. They provide real proposals to make America safe again. The team that put this commitment to America together say they did it through the lens of the everyday Americans. House Republicans, moderates, and staunch conservatives alike are saying that this commitment is for you, the American people. Now, there's four big ideas. An economy that's strong, we did that last week. A nation that's safe, a future that's built on freedom, and a government that is accountable. Today, we're looking at the second, a commitment to introduce policy and proposals that make a nation that is safe. Now, we used to be a safe country, where the rule of law created an environment where you could assume you would have quick police response and that the criminal would be put in jail. And there was some kind of an honor code. To get back to that, Republicans provide three initiatives. First, secure the border and combat illegal immigration. Second, reduce crime and protect public safety. And third, defend America's national security. So let's look at each one. First, for the nation to be safe, they propose we must secure the border and combat illegal immigration. There are problems with a border that's not secure. Most who come to America come with very good intentions, just like my granddad. But he came legally. You've heard that without a border, you have no nation. And that's really true. What does that mean? Well, the primary job of a government is to keep its citizens safe. And when the U.S. doesn't secure its border, it opens the door to criminals who are fleeing persecution or prosecution from some other place to hide in the United States and commit crimes here rather than wherever they came from. And this is pretty easy to prove. Undocumented immigrants make up more than a third of all federal prisoners, according to the Department of Justice. The U.S. Marshals Service has confirmed that 94% of foreigners who are in federal prison are illegal immigrants. Most everyone coming across the border just want a better life. But if the process is not legal, the door is open for career criminals to come and create havoc. Current U.S. immigration law requires that if you cross the U.S. border illegally, you're either to be removed or detained, but not released. So the Republicans just want to follow the current law. The second problem is the horrible impact on our communities of the most profitable crimes, which include human trafficking and lethal drugs. The CDC says that pharmaceutical fentanyl is for treating severe pain, typically advanced cancer pain. It is 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine. It's sold illegally and mixed with heroin or cocaine to give the user a euphoric effect. It also kills. It's responsible for over 70% of all drug overdoses in the United States. And it has accelerated in the past 2 years. And that can be traced to illegal border crossings. The third problem with an open border is economic. At the end of the day, illegal immigration can contribute to a declining standard of living for the United States. A small piece of this is when the immigrant takes a job away from citizens. Many of these work in jobs for cash and they don't pay any taxes. And that's a net drain on a local government. They use all the public services, from driving on the roads to enrolling their children in public schools, but they aren't paying their fair share of taxes. This also puts a financial burden on government assistance programs. As a general rule, when the border's not secure, it attracts those with a lower skill set, which in the aggregate reduces the productivity of the United States. When productivity rises, it increases the standard of living. Yet in 2022, U.S. worker productivity fell at the fastest rate since 1947, according to the Labor Department. Some of this can be blamed on the pandemic, but not all of it. A material chunk can also be blamed on illegal immigration. Finally, illegal immigration is unfair to those who came legally and waited in line and went through the process. Now, the number I'm about to give you is just unbelievable. Yet altogether, there are just over 5 million illegal immigrants who have come into the United States since Biden became president of the U.S. The Federation for American Immigration Reform documents 4.9 million through July of 2022. And since then, we know that there were an additional at least 250,000 that made their way across the southern border. It's the largest influx of illegal immigration in history. And of those, about 1.3 million have been released by the Biden administration, and about 1 million have evaded the Border Patrol altogether. Biden's illegal immigration numbers are just stunning. Looking at the Center for Border Patrol's graph for just the Southwest border, in the six-month period, March through August 2022, average illegal immigration on the Southwest border is above 218,000 per month. Those are the ones you can document. The population of the city of Boston is over 600,000. That's how many people are illegally entering the United States every 3 months. Now let's compare that to very recent history. In the same March through August six-month period of the Trump administration in 2020, the Center for Border Patrol shows an average of 33,000 per month. And even if you adjust for COVID by replacing a couple of those lower months with months that were higher, the average is still only about 50,000 per month. Even U.S. News & World Report, not exactly a Trump fan, reported that Trump cut illegal immigration dramatically due to his stronger interior enforcement efforts, such as ending Obama's catch and release policy. They also attributed what they called his hardline rhetoric to stemming illegal immigration. The message was absolutely crystal clear. If you come to the United States border and you do that illegally, you can expect to be turned away to Mexico or be sent to Guatemala, Honduras, or El Salvador. Now, what happened is Trump's administration had struck deals. They were called safe third country agreements. And that's how he would send these illegal immigrants to those northern triangle countries. And that was even if they didn't come from there originally. Newsweek, another non-fan of Trump, said, "The numbers do speak volumes." They reported that the Remain in Mexico initiative had the biggest impact, and this policy required the migrant to stay on the Mexican side of the border while their case was reviewed. The threat of being deported to the Northern Triangle also greatly reduced illegal immigration. I mean, why make the dangerous trip all the way up if you're going to just be sent right back? By the end of 2019, the program had decreased illegal immigration by almost 70% from its high, according to Newsweek, and at that time, down to a very manageable 42,643. So, take the average of Trump's last 6 months of 53,000 and compare that to Biden's last six-month average of 218,000. Biden has increased illegal immigration by over 400%. So how do you fix this? The Republicans are proposing to fully fund border enforcement strategies that worked in the very recent past. They also call for infrastructure improvements, which includes building a wall or electronic wall where it makes more sense. They also propose using technology, which is already developed, like autonomous drones, to prevent illegal crossings. They propose cracking down hard on human trafficking by the cartels. Further, they propose ending the catch-and-release loopholes. For example, illegal immigrants are released back into the United States when they have not been accepted for deportation to another country after they've been detained for 6 months here. Republican senators already prepared legislation that would close this loophole. They just need a majority in the House and the Senate for it to go anywhere. Biden might veto it, but you never know. If the win is decisive, it could shake Biden. You know, Clinton signed into law welfare reform. The Republicans also propose requiring illegal immigrants to be restricted from getting or holding a job. This practice actually used to work to a small extent back in the 90s. It seems to ebb and flow due to the counter impact of the black market jobs, but as a short-term stopgap, it does serve as a disincentive for immigrants. Finally, they propose eliminating all welfare incentives to illegal immigrants. And this would, in fact, work. This would be a disincentive. This would be a federal law that would override sanctuary cities and states. It would shift the incentive from illegal to legal migration. So, the Republican proposals to secure the border and fight illegal immigration would probably help, at least around the edges. And they are similar to what worked just a few years ago. Comprehensive immigration reform, that would be a dream. That would streamline the legal process to legally enter the United States. And it would include protection against amnesty and other bad ideas for those who broke the law. Realistically, it'd be tough to get any meaningful legislation passed unless the Republicans win the House and the Senate in just a massive way. But even if they just have control, they can initiate policies that, even if they are vetoed, will shift the debate to the benefit of shutting down the illegal immigration incentives, and that'd be good. So that's the first initiative under the commitment to make the U.S. safe. Secure the border and combat illegal immigration. Now, the second way the Republicans propose to make the U.S. safe again is to reduce crime and protect public safety. This is huge. I mean, we have a surge in crime at all levels. The big cities have some neighborhoods that are so dangerous, the police do not even go there. Crime has increased in small towns, mid-sized cities, and all of the large cities. To provide some response to this massive problem, Congress supports 200,000 more police officers in the Commitment to America by the Republicans. They aim to pull this off by providing them with recruiting bonuses. They also commit to shutting down all the efforts to defund and, by extension, disrespect the police. The Republicans are pro-traditional police. In other words, the police are your friend in the community. They are to be respected. They protect and serve. Now, a bunch of police have resigned or retired, and who can blame them? They're not given the benefit of the doubt. They're hated by Democrat leaders, mayors, congressmen, council members, senators. Republicans are comfortable with common sense reforms such as mandatory body cams to protect the innocent from abusive force. They're certainly for disciplining and terminating incompetent or corrupt police officers, but by and large, police officers have traditionally been motivated by a sense of duty and service to their community. And the statistics bear out that they are not racist and they do not go after one color over another. They are good people endeavoring to do their job very well in spite of the danger of their job. they're also human. And some of the best police officers have resigned or retired due to the hostility that they were facing in their community. This unjustified hate came from Democrat leaders and their Marxist-controlled violent rioters. So how do you recruit good police officers? You initiate policies that reflect support and respect. The recruiting bonuses are intended to convey that sentiment. Good guys need to know that being a part of the police force is endorsed by their communities. The Republicans' commitment to America in this category is just plain common sense. Now, the next thing the Republicans would do to reduce crime and protect public safety is crack down on prosecutors and district attorneys who refuse to prosecute crimes. These Democrat prosecutors have been letting criminals go scot-free. It's crazy. There are thousands of examples where the prosecutor protects the criminal and, by extension, puts the victim in harm's way. Republicans propose federal policy which requires the prosecutor to prosecute crimes. Now imagine that. And for the district attorney to make sure that the criminals serve the time written in the law and keep dangerous criminals off the streets. You know, most crime could be stopped in its tracks. How? Well, by keeping the criminal in jail. Most crime is by repeat offenders. And all kinds of studies bear this out. There's one research analysis that showed a whopping 71% of all violent crime was committed by those who had past convictions and were let back out on the street to commit even more crime. A more positive way to look at this issue is that very few people are hardened criminals. But hardened criminals who don't get prosecuted increase in their boldness. Nobody's going to touch them, so they'll just do more. They don't even think of merging with society and earning a living the legal way. And a stat that bears this out is that just 6% of the criminals are responsible for 55% of all the violent crime. Federal sentencing guidelines used to be mandatory, and during this mandatory sentencing era, crime rates dropped everywhere. Big cities, small cities, everywhere. Republicans are proposing common sense initiatives that would reduce crime, replenish the dwindling police force with good, competent officers, and keep the criminals in jail for the duration of their sentence. So, reducing crime and protecting public safety is one of the policy priorities of the Republicans. The final way the Republicans propose to make the U.S. safe again is to defend America's national security. You know, we've got dictators running nuclear-armed Russia, dictator running nuclear-armed North Korea, and China. You know, we need a cogent strategy. When Democrats hold the White House, they reduce investment in the armed services. And this time around, they're going further and forcing sensitivity training upon the armed services. This is crazy land. The Republicans propose to support our troops in a more traditional way. We don't need tactics on how to confuse gender. We don't need the military to be trained on white fragility or systemic racism or diversity. In fact, the military needs and actually depends on uniformity. That's why they wear uniforms. They need to function as a unit. They need to be tough, disciplined, unemotional, fighting machines, not sensitive bundles of sentiment. The Department of Defense should function in a unified way to strike fear, or at least strike respect, in the heart of the enemy. And they do this by having patriotic warriors who are supported with efficient and effective military equipment. The Republicans are also supporting a select committee on China. The point of this initiative is not to just sit around a room, but it's to exercise peace through strength. In reality, the president is the chief war officer, and without his resolve, this initiative will be limited. However, if done well, it can set the platform for a better president in 2024 to regain American respect around the globe, and in the meantime, put a stay on bad decisions. The Republican House of Representatives is committing to do their part to exercise peace through strength by establishing solid relationships with America's allies to reduce global threats. So, there you have it. The second of the four commitments. A nation that is safe, and to pull this off, a few proposals: secure the border and combat illegal immigration, reduce crime and protect public safety, and defend America's national security. These reasonable policy positions are, in fact, not radical at all, regardless of what the Democrats say about them. They are down the middle of the bowling alley in terms of political thought. They are majority view positions. And just a few years ago, no one would have disagreed. If you believe that the Republicans are sincere, this second commitment by itself would be improvement over our current precarious situation. I mean, we're watching crime get closer and closer to our neighborhoods. Just recently, and in a very safe neighborhood, for the first time in my life, I had items stolen right out of my car, right out from under my nose. When I reported it to the police, and I even had some serial numbers on some of the expensive items, they were pretty clear that they had no time and no interest in figuring out the issue. Now, I get it. I don't fault the police. They're doing the best they can with very limited resources. But we don't have to look that far into the past to see that if you're tough on crime, those policies work. It needs to be harder to commit a crime. And if government should do anything, it should protect our safety. So the Republican vision is to crack down on crime, tighten up the border, support the police, and equip America's armed forces to be more effective. Yet the Democrats say if they win in November, they have a vision too. And their vision is to reimagine the police, to train social Marxists to be community officers, to teach the military how to use multiple pronouns for up to 26 genders, to train new officers on how to be more sensitive, and to continue to let the criminals roam freely. You know, over the past 150 years, we have real metrics on crime. While Democrats are in power, crime goes up. While Republicans are in power, crime goes down or is held steady. A real-time example is New York City. While Republicans were in power with Mayor Giuliani and Bloomberg, crime went down or held steady. While Democrats are or were in power, crime went up. Dinkins was before Giuliani, and Blasio and Adams were after Bloomberg. And this statistic holds largely true across the country, though the crime rates in New York City are off the charts. The highest crime rates by city are all run by Democrat mayors: Baltimore, Detroit, Chicago, Atlanta, Memphis, Houston, Cleveland, St. Louis. And you know, the lowest crime rates by city are all run by Republican mayors. And you know, this holds true even if you compare close by cities with similar demographics. For example, Republican-run Fort Worth has a lower crime rate, is safer than neighboring Democrat-run Dallas. And even if the Republicans don't get everything done, and even if they only provide a check against the Democrats, current one-party crazy rule, it'd be better for overall safety for all of us if they had a check on their power. They will at least slow down the aggressive leftist district attorney and prosecutor. I mean, if you care about your country and you love freedom, whether you're a Democrat, independent, or Republican, there's really just one responsible way to vote this fall. Regardless of your party affiliation, the USA is going to do a lot better with a vote in support of the commitment to America. If the government doesn't clamp down on criminals and protect the innocent, the productive and honest people end up living in a constant state of fear of danger and harm. And that adversely impacts your freedom. Freedom enables the exemplary citizen to responsibly go about his or her day and move freely. If you're not safe, you can't live free. Let's restore America to a nation that is safe to your freedom.
Hi, I'm David Farah. Thank you for listening to my dad's podcast, The Barry Farah Show, Culture Shift. Click subscribe now to be sure you don't miss an episode. Share this podcast with your friends on social media and give The Barry Farah Show your 5-star rating. See you next time.